morning I'm going to speak on the subject, What Made Satan, Satan? And by way of introduction, I want to say that every person that's in this room this morning ought to hate Satan. Every person in this room this morning ought to hate the devil. Every person in this room this morning ought to hate Lucifer, old snooty face, whatever you want to call him. Every single person ought to hate the devil. Now, it's not the main part of my message, but I want to give you three reasons why we should hate him. Number one, we ought to hate him because he got mankind kicked out of hell. No, he got... Wait, I'm getting ahead of myself. He got mankind kicked out of the Garden of Eden. Now, you say, preacher, the Bible doesn't mention Satan in the Garden of Eden. It mentions the serpent came and tempted Eve, and Eve took the fruit and ate it. But what did the serpent do to Eve? The serpent lied to her. He asked the question, hey, God, didn't God tell you could eat of every fruit in the garden? And Eve said, well, yes, he has. He told us we could eat of every fruit in the garden except for one, the fruit on the tree of the knowledge of good and evil in the center of the garden. God says if we eat of that fruit, we'll die. That's when the serpent lied. Oh, God didn't mean that. God knows that if you eat the fruit from the tree of knowledge of good and evil, you'll be like him. You'll be wise. Now, so you say Satan went in the Garden of Eden. Who's the father of all lies? Satan. Answer me. Who's the father of all lies? Satan is the father of all lies. And so he worked through the serpent, but he was in the Garden of Eden, and ultimately he was the one that got us kicked out of the Garden of Eden. Second reason we ought to hate Satan is that he accuses us before God. We read in the Bible the story of Job, and Satan stood before God, and God said, Satan, have you considered my servant Job, somebody that loves me and hates evil? And Satan says, he only does that because you've blessed him. Take away all his blessings, and he'll curse you. And God said, all right, take away all the good things in his life. Don't touch his body, but take away all his wealth and take away his children, take away his health, take away all his animals, take away everything he has. And God allowed Satan to do that. And Job said, I'm still going to trust my God. Satan went back to God, and God said, hey, look it. I let you take everything away that Job had, and he still trusts me. And Satan said, oh, yeah, but let me touch his body. Let me make him sick. Let me put him in physical distress, and then he'll curse you. And God said, okay, you can do it. Don't kill him. Don't kill him. And Satan did that. And you know the story. Job says, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. Do you know that Satan does the same thing before God to all of us? He's the great accuser. He stands before God, says our name. Hey, God, did you see that? Did you see what they did? Did you see what they didn't do? Boy, I don't know how you can say they're one of your children. That's what Satan does. And we ought to hate him because he accuses us before God. And then number three, we ought to hate him because him, there is a hell. Listen to me. Hell was not created for mankind. Hell was created for Satan and all the angels that fell with him when he rebelled against God in heaven. There's heaven, no night, no pain, streets of gold, and God, for Satan's punishment, made hell a place of darkness, a place of pain where the fire burns forever, torments, the worm dieth not, the bottomless pit where there is no foundation, not made for man, made for Satan. If there wasn't a Satan, there'd be no hell. If there wasn't a Satan, we might still be living in the Garden of Eden. If there wasn't a Satan, we'd have nobody to accuse us before God. Everybody here ought to hate Satan. In fact, let me ask you, I don't usually do this, but if you hate Satan this morning, if you're able, go ahead and stand up. Let's just show them how many people hate him this morning. I hate the devil. I hate Satan. All right, thank you. You may be seated. Everybody stood up. Praise the Lord for that. So, here's my question this morning. What made Satan, Satan? What made Satan, Satan? Is he Satan because he tempted Eve and got them kicked out of the garden? No. Is he Satan because he accuses us night and day before God? No. Is he Satan because there's a hell? No. Satan is Satan because of what we read in the passages of Scripture that Adam led us in reading a minute ago. And again, before we get to that, let me point out, God did not create Satan. He didn't. Satan was originally called Lucifer. He was one of the three archangels created by God, along Lucifer, Michael, and Gabriel. They were beautiful. I mean, they were beautiful. They were talented. They had a position of honor in heaven. And Lucifer became the devil. Lucifer became Satan when he said, I will. I will. I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit upon the mount of the congregation. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Satan became Satan when he says, I'm going to be God. That word, Most High, comes from the Hebrew word El Eliah, which means the highest one, the strongest of the strong, the one who has no equal. Satan became Satan. Again, he was created to be one of the three archangels in heaven, a beautiful being, a being that had a purpose in God's plan, a being that had a place of honor in God's heaven. And he became Satan when he rebelled against God, when he said, I will be God. I will sit where God sits. I will have the glory that God has. I will sit above him. And he became Satan. Satan, when he said, I will decide what I will be. I will decide what I will do. I will decide what position I will hold. I will decide what place I will have in the cosmos. He became Satan when he said, I will, and left the will of God for his life, for his creation. Now, if that's what made Satan, Satan, let me ask you a question this morning. If what made Satan, Satan was when he ignored the will of God and said, I will do these different things, what does it mean? Listen, what does it mean when we do the same thing? What does it mean when we do the same thing? God's will is for every single person to be saved. God's will is for every single person to go to heaven. The Bible says that God's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. That's why the invitations that are in the Bible uses words that include everybody. That's why the invitations to come to Christ and to be saved from the penalty of your sin, you see, we're all sinners, every single one of us. The Bible says there's none righteous, no, not one, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And God wants us to be, and there's a penalty for that sin. The wages of sin is death. God wants us to be saved from that penalty. To be, the death that it's talking about is separation from him. And there's a lot of people that saying, well, when I get to hell, and the problem is they don't realize they're already living in hell. They've never received Christ. They're separated from God. They're living in a hell on this earth. And when they die, they're going to be eternally separated from God. They're going to go to that place that was not prepared for man, but was prepared for the devil. And they're going to live there forever. There's no way out after you get there. Nobody, none of your relatives can pay your way out. Sorry. None of your relatives can pray your way out. Once you enter the door of hell, you are there for eternity. God, listen to me, God doesn't want anybody to go there. He wants everybody to go to heaven. That's why he uses words like whosoever. Whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Whosoever will may come. God's invitation to salvation is for everybody to be saved. And he tells us, look, I want you to be saved today. I don't want you to wait till tomorrow. I don't want you to wait till next week. As Brother Clyde said a moment ago, we don't know how long life is going to last. We don't know how many chances we're going to have in order to come to Christ and be saved from the penalty of our sin. Young people think, well, I'm young. I've got my whole life ahead of me. But look at the obituaries. Go out and walk through the cemetery. Young people die just like old people die. And none of us are guaranteed, again, as Brother Clyde said, I wish he would just stay out of my preaching, but as Brother Clyde said a moment ago, we're not guaranteed tomorrow, we're not even guaranteed the rest of the day. If you're not saved this morning, if you're not saved, the Bible says that God wants you to get saved right now. The Bible says now is the accepted time. Today is the day of salvation. And by the way, God tells us how to be saved. The world says, well, there's lots of different ways that you can get right with God. And God says, nope, that's another lie. That's another lie from the father of all lies. That's another lie from Satan. There's only one way to get right with God. In the book of Acts chapter 4, verse 12, the Bible says, neither is there salvation in any other, for there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. That name is Jesus. The Jesus that Bud sang about a moment ago. The Jesus that shed his blood for our sins. Jesus said in John chapter 14, verse 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. There's not a lot of ways to get right with God. There's only one way to get right with God, and that way is the Lord Jesus Christ and what he purchased for us on Calvary. What does it make us? When we put aside the will of God and say, well, I'll decide whether I want to get saved or not. And I'll decide when I will get saved. And I will decide the way I get saved. I don't care about your will, God. I want my will. And so we say, I will, I will, I will. Does that make us like Satan, who we all stood a moment ago and said we hate? Does that make us deserving of the same punishment that Satan endures right now? And the answer to that question is yes. If you say, I don't care what God's will is. I don't care what God's timing is. I don't care what God's way is. I want my will, my way, my timing, if you're not careful. In fact, it doesn't matter if you're careful or not. If that's your decision to want it your way, you're going to end up in exactly the same place that Satan is. You're going to end up in hell. And I know some of you might say, preacher, you ought not to say that. That's mean. I'm not trying to be mean. I'm trying to be truthful. And it's not me saying it. It's this book saying it. The book says if you reject Christ, you are headed for an eternity in hell. The book says that if you ignore God's will for you, and his will is that everybody go to heaven, if you ignore that will for you and say, I want my way, my timing, my will, then you're going to end up in hell. And you're going to spend eternity apart from God into that place that was not prepared for man, but that was prepared for Satan and the angels that he led astray from heaven. Saying, I will you into hell. It will. And then there's a second time that mankind says, I will. You see, God's will for every person is that they do the thing that they were created for. None of us were created by accident. None of us were born. Let me say it another way. None of us were born by accident. Every birth, and the Sunday school lesson talked about it this morning. I didn't mention it in my Sunday school lesson, but it was in the book this morning. Every single person that is born into this world, regardless of the circumstances of their conception, is here by God's plan. Every single person. Every single person is here by God's plan. And his plan for every person's life is for them to get saved. And his plan for every person's life is for them to do the thing that they were made for. You see, there's no person born outside of the will of God. Every person that's born, God has a purpose for them being here. He has a work for them to do. In the book of Ephesians chapter 2, it says, "For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained," before we were born, ordained, "that we should walk in them." We were made by God. We were born to our parents according to the will of God to be part of his family. We become part of his family by getting saved. We were also created to do a work in that family. And I'll say to every person here, it doesn't, and it applies to the youngest little baby that's back in the nursery, to the oldest person that's sitting in this room, and we know who that is. I won't mention any names, but we know who it is. But it applies from the youngest to the oldest. God has a will for your life. God has a plan for your life. God has a purpose why he made you, and his will is that you find out what that is and do it. And when we say to God, "I don't care about your plan, I don't care about your will, I don't care about your purpose, I will decide for myself how I spend my life, I will decide for myself what I will be, I will decide for myself where I will live, I will decide for myself who I will marry, I will decide for myself what job I have, I will. All of us stood a moment ago and said, "I hate the devil, and the devil's the devil," because he said, "I will." What does that make us? When we spit in the face of God and say, "I'm not going to be saved. I'm not going to worry about the purpose for which you made me. I will. I'm going to live my own life. I'm going to make my own decisions, and it doesn't matter one bit what you want me to do." I don't know about you, but I fear God too much to do that. I believe there is a hell, and I believe God has every right and is just when he does it to send every person who rejects Jesus Christ to hell forever. And I believe God has the right to punish people that spit in his face and say, "It doesn't matter what your will is, it doesn't matter what your plan is, it doesn't matter what your purpose is, I'm going to do what I want. You better be careful, because you're not just dealing with a God that has eyes and can't see and ears and can't hear and hands that can't do anything. You are dealing with an omnipotent, all-powerful God that's in charge of this world and has every resource at his beckon. And to say to that God, "Doesn't matter what you want, I will." You are treading on ground that no human being should ever tread on. You are walking a path that no man or woman or boy or girl should ever walk. You are tempting Almighty God to rain his punishment down on you. And so this morning, what made Satan Satan? It's when he said, "I will. I will be God." And in actuality, if you're here today and you've rejected salvation, you're saying the same thing. "I'll be my own God. I'll be my own God." And if you're rejecting his plan for your life, you're saying the same thing. "I will be God." And I beg you this morning, I plead with you this morning, I implore you this morning, you cannot be your own God. You better come and bow before the one true God. You better come this morning and receive Jesus as your Savior if you haven't done it. And you better come this morning if you're a Christian and say, just like Jesus said, "Not my will, but thy will be done." That's what we need to do this morning. Will you do it? We hate Satan, as we should. But if we're not careful, we're going to do the exact same thing that he did when we say, I will, I will, I will. No, not I will, but God's will. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for this warning that comes from it. And I pray every person here would hear it this morning and heed it. I pray if there's those here that have never received Christ, whatever the reason that has kept them from coming to the Savior, help them to see that it's not worth it, that it won't work. The only hope they have to be right with you, and the only hope they have for heaven, the only hope they have to have their sins forgiven, is to come to Jesus. And Father, for every Christian that's here, help us to understand it's not our will, but it's your will. And when we trust and obey, that's the way we ought to live. Trust and obey. For there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. I pray you'll bless this time of invitation. I pray the unsaved will come and we can take the Bible and show them from the Bible how to ask Jesus to be their Savior. I pray that Christians who are fighting your will in their life would come and just surrender and say like Jesus, not my will but yours. Bless this time of invitation, for it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.